I think we should just start with the ground rules while they're still waiting for Honorable Marley to arrive. Just to remind ourselves of the decision we took yesterday. I don't know, this volume is too low today. It means we're not able to hear Honorable Makubel. Darren, they must work on the volume.
No, that's a choice. Don't mind the
volume. Yeah. Alright. Now, honourable members would recall that we are going to break at lunch and go for plenary and come back. Because of time project members, we would really request that as per a decision we took yesterday, a question per member and a follow-up per member. Otherwise, we will not make it for 1 o'clock and for the plenary. And the chief leads of both houses told us it's not something that we should attend. We should be on time. So we would request that we stick to that with due respect. Now, the second point, for members who were not present yesterday, of which apologies we have received, there's a decision we took yesterday in relation to this interview. We thought that, with due respect, honorable members, that for consistency and for fairness, if yesterday we conducted interviews and we had 10 members asking questions to the candidates, it would not be fair that today we have 16 members asking today's particular candidate. So we would appeal that one to the constitution. So the decision is that was that we would be consistent in terms of the 10. Not necessarily that we are holding out other members, and we know that we have all received information very late on Friday that we continue. We struggled, we wanted to reschedule for Tuesday, but we struggled. You'd understand that the program is very tight, the parliamentary program. Hence, those of us who had to counsel our other places and come. So that's the decision we took. And we're not saying members must go away or what. But we are just saying that we are fair to one another. That's the decision we took. So I hope that we all clear, members, we all clear about this decision. I see that Honorable Swati agrees. No, thanks very much. So we'll stick to that, members. One question, one follow-up, or one and a half. One and a half question. One follow-up, because Banga's question is very long. I know that question was asked yesterday is very long. If you can make it one and a half, it is about 4 questions. You will have to summarize in such a way that we are on time. Is that clear, honorable members? Honorable Nyambi, you're looking at me with eyes, with the bedroom eyes. Is honorable Nyambi? No, we are going to the old assembly. Yeah, old assembly. After plenary, old assembly. Tomorrow morning we're coming back here. Tomorrow morning we're coming back here. Yeah. So we just delayed by honorable Madi. Let's give you 5 minutes. It was parking. Honorable Kubai spoke to her in the past 5 minutes. When she comes, we're looking at the 10 of yesterday, honorable Madi. They see you coming. We are dealing with the yesterday issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
saying
he's the only one.
Yeah, he's the only one. And Honorable Banga, at least he had a headache, but he's okay. All right.
So
we stop for the next 5 minutes, you're starting. Honorable developer.
Just one question. The sheet with the scoring of a candidate from my side, did the secretary take it or what? Not in my side.
Yes, all sheets, the candidates. The secretary has all the sheets for the first day. Because if you keep them in the file, as you are driving the file, they can follow. They are loose papers. Darren, why is Mr. Nguyen this sheet in this file? Because mine is not here.
Mine is here.
No, but the instruction was that for safety's sake, you must keep them safe. So maybe you went home with Wena Banga, I don't trust you. You may have taken it home.
No.
Darren, can you make sure that Honorable Developer has the call sheet for today? So we are telling you know, we are always late as members. We don't stick to our time. Since yesterday we are starting late and it's not good. Honorable members, we've been told that because of flight issues, the third candidate has not arrived. So we suggest that we take, because some candidates are outside, that we start with Mr. Andile Lungisa, who is apparently very sick, according to the co-chair. And then we start with him so that we release him to go home. Apparently he's having tonsils. And we release him to go home. Yeah. So once on our mother arrives, yeah, she's also having a big body like myself now. She's coming, she's working. Now once he arrives, we'll start with Mr. Lungisa.
No, I have a
just look at
what, it. What? You look at it.
I'm looking at him.
No, you look at it. You see
my
name.
Okay?
Yeah.
What
you
look
at
it.
Understand the linkage between the National Commission Act and what we have now as the NYDA Act, and why do we still have a meaningful percentage of young people still complaining, facing the challenges, yet as lawmakers we thought we are making an improvement. So try to take us through and make a comparison and make us to have a better understanding why you didn't have the outcry, given that we thought that was coming with something that would be bad.
No, thank you very much, Honorable, about the question. If we remember, Youth Commission was established through the Act of Parliament of 1996, which later in 2001 through the Demutualization Fund, Stockholm Youth Fund was then established, based on the State of the Nation address, which was made in 1998 by the former president, Thabo Mbeki Mandela, which Umthobo Youth Fund was then capitalized by government where 1 billion was for the Principal Road Fund. If you remember, when your commission was formed, it was given 16 million in 1996. Young people in this country, they came together where there was a convention, which was then organized by the National Commission. They then agreed that an institution must be able to be formed where youth development would be coordinated under one roof, which it then became the National Youth Agency, which was established through the Act of Parliament, Act 54 of 2008. It's where we're coming from, because young people, they made a call. But the limitation which was then made by our government, then the new institution was never capitalized. It was never given even a cent. The money, when we were appointed as a board, we had to use the money which was coming from Mutombo Mutu Fund and the National Commission to be able to take the new institution forward without any capital injection from the government. Our government conducted, in the president, they conducted what was called a due diligence report. That report was very clear that if you put an institution like the National Youth Agency, you must be able to give it an injection of 950 million rand to be able to start, which that money never came forward. It's been operating less than 400 million rand annually. That's why there's still a big climb all over the country, which has been persuading our government that it's a mass injection. So the young people, they're not complaining. They were complaining that institutions are not given proper resources. I think that's a major challenge which confronted the National Youth Agency, which confronted us when we're running the board. We had to merge two institutions. Even the merger was never financed. I think we read on the newspapers when the acquisition, when the merger, even the current merger of Glencoe and Atlanta, there's the money which has been put aside to be able to deal with the merger, because they're dealing with two institutions, which is two different cultures, where you must be able to put and build one culture. I would say that's my response. Follow-up question? Okay.
Hoping it will be my last one, Chair. Given the challenges facing young people in our country, and you are one of those that were fortunate to be part of the board, the outgoing one, why do you think it's still relevant for you to go back and be part of the board again? Because we have had that opportunity, and we have had a number of challenges. Why do you think it's still relevant for you to go back to the board as a board member?
I think it will be relevant because there must always be continued in terms of policy, also in terms of direction, also the strategy. Because if you remember, the past 3 years, we had to merge two institutions, which have managed to do that successfully. And then we put policies in place. For example, if you look at the Act of the NYD, you are required by the Act that must be able to develop what is called policy guidelines for implementation. We must develop youth priorities, which each and every year we announce those youth priorities. We must develop youth integrated strategy for South Africa. We must also develop youth status report, where we present that report to the president. It becomes the responsibility of the president to take the report in parliament. We've developed all those reports. We've got the strategy. We've got youth policy implementation guidelines. We've announced youth priorities. We've concluded the youth status report. We've presented in the president a youth manuscript. There's no organization in the history of youth development in South Africa which have developed those documents. If you can look at the history of Mutombo Youth Fund, you look at the history of Youth Commission, even you look at the history of the South African Council, which is at the level of youth society. I think we've put systems in place. Even if you look in the past 2 years, we've been given what is called unqualified reports, clean audit reports by the Auditor General. You can go to all over the country, there's no institution which have received the unqualified report in the short space of time. I think we've put relevant systems in place. We've also started a number of programs with various government departments, including the private sector. And we think if I come back, at least we'll be able to change the situation of young people in this country. Because we notice when we give them small budget, and then we start to come to creativity in the process. We have to be creative, must provide visionary leadership. Let's engage private sector, let's engage number of government departments. That's why the Department of Rural Development, if we remember last year on the 6th of May, here in the Western Cape, we launched the Youth Corps, where more than 10,000 young people are part of that program. You remember we've launched a program, IH, with the Minister of Economic Development in Gauteng, MEC Madam. We've launched that program where we've enrolled number of young people, which that program within the period of 3 years is going to take not less than 150,000. Within the MIT, we've assisted young people more than 25,000 with loans. We've trained more than 85,000 young people. We've enrolled more than 150,000 young people on National Literacy Program. In our offices all over the country, we've assisted more than 1 million young people with career guidance. And then I simply say, at least we're moving towards towards the right direction. But as a former chairperson of the National Literacy Agency, unemployment in South Africa is sitting at high numbers. If you look at the last labor survey, we are sitting at 25% of unemployed people in South Africa. Young people, they constitute more than 72% of the total number of unemployed. If you convert it in numbers, it simply says more than 3.5, close to 4 million young South Africans between the age of 14 and 35, they are unemployed. You've got young people between the age of 14 and 25 who are sitting at 1.8 million. We have even lost hope, which was reviving that hope as the leadership of the National Meeting Agents. That all of us must be able to have what is called a sense of agents on our side. Our government must have a sense of agents, including the members of parliament must have a sense of agents. Because the issue of youth unemployment, it cannot be postponed. It's what we've raised to the president, it's what we've raised to the cabinet, it's what we've raised in parliament on a number of occasions. We're not coming in parliament. We have not been putting that issue of unemployment under the carpet. We've been raising it as an accounting agent. Because I think the impact which we're making is like a drop in the ocean. That's why there will be a cry when it comes to young people in this country. I think, as I've indicated, that we've put system, we've been also engaging with the department of the CRESA around about the issue of youth subsidy, youth wage subsidy, where we have been very clear in terms of our approach, which is the direction that we must be taking as a national indicator to be able to change the situation of young South Africans for the better.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Honorable Mahdi.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Mr. Bundesan.
Monique.
I'm well.
I'm highly sick of my conference.
Oh, sure. So, I should have offered you a conference. You've been involved in a number of youth organizations, or let me rather say, you are known internationally and locally. Because of you've been a chairperson of a very powerful youth organization in South Africa, but you've only been nominated by the Youth League, which is the National Youth League, and currently there's a perception that the NYDA is an extension of the Youth League. I wanted to clarify that the reason why this. The Youth League, the only organization that is supporting you, and should you become successful, we need to explain to the public again, because they will then say, well, no, Lindisa was appointed by the, nominated by the Youth League. I'm just thinking loud, you know, we cannot stop public from criticizing us. But I just want you to, in your own perspective, to explain what does this have, you know, what implication can this
I might not be sure about why I've not received a nomination from other young South Africans, but I know whatever we do, we've got the full support of young South Africans. We've got the full support of young people in the African community. We've got the full support of young people all over the world. You remember last year, that there was a meeting which was convened by the head of state in Malabo in Equatorial Guinea, where I was part of the delegation. As an assembling agent here in South Africa, we presented a compelling case.
Today you are interviewing you as a candidate, but and then to other members, you are interviewing as a candidate, not as a representative of the. Now you must not come to the panel. You must talk as candidate only, a candidate for the board, because the board term has expired in 30 April. So in our view, there is no board. So we don't want to talk to us as a separate of the board, because now you are just intervening.
Okay. No, I think I was responding in the context that why I'm not nominated by other young South Africans. But I take your point, Chair. In the past, maybe not as a chair of the National Division, who worked in my involvement in youth development in South Africa from the younger age, like the member Banga comes from my city, Port Elizabeth, will know what I'm talking about. We have been part of all structures. We have coordinated all political organizations, NGOs, CPOs, young people in business, which we had good relations with them. I might not have the right, I cannot be able to answer on their behalf. But if I'm honest, the Nakamitin agents have tried to reach out to all young South Africans. We have not assessed where they are coming from. It's either they come from the youth league, they come from the DA youth, whatever they're coming from, we've been working with them. We have luckily we had good relations with young people who are coming from all sectors. I had a committee where I was meeting with young people on a quarterly basis. I would say it's how we've been working with since I've been involved, I think, for a long time, from Port Elizabeth when I was part of the youth council. In fact, I've been more active at the level of civil society all my life when it comes to issues of youth development.
Follow up question.
Thanks, Mr. Minister. Exactly, you know, sure, that was my concern to say that he's a very popular young person, and it's surprising that other youth commissions did not consider the name. My second question is in relation to the general outcry also that has also been there about the non-accountability of the NYDA. I'm noting that you are a candidate today. I'm not interviewing you as the chairperson. The non-accountability, particularly of finances, you know, programs that were not welcomed by the majority of young people in South Africa. Regardless of the fact that the commission was able to get, the agency was able to obtain unqualified reports, clean audits for the past two financial years. But you know, generally people were not happy about the way the agency has been managed. What is it that you think, if you get an opportunity to serve again, that you think it should be done differently, especially to get the majority supporting particularly the programs and appreciating what you do for young people?
No, thank you very much. It could be really difficult, especially since I've been questioned by the chair, that I must not account about the work of the National Division. But the questions, they put me towards that direction, that I must be able to account. For example, the issue of criticism.
Is it on? Good morning, Mr. Minister. It is correct that we take you as if we the first time that we meet Mr. Andrew and he's like, yeah, who is showing interest to serve in the MIT. Take this as what has been in the news coming in to bring your expertise and say, given an opportunity, if there has been a structure, is what you are alluded to. How then would I begin to assist?
All members, let's have order. We have agreed that any candidate, including Mr. Lungiso, since yesterday, is not a board because there is no board. That's why we have to prioritize ourselves so that we hold this interview, because there must be a board. Now, our questions must be such that when you ask, you don't ask him to respond to account for his previous employment or responsibility. I think Honorable Lenzon is right. Say that these challenges in the NYDA, if you want to raise their challenges, because they are members of parliament, you've got the report of what is happening in NYDA. Forget that you're talking to Adil Lungiso. There are these challenges. If we were to give you an opportunity, what is it that you do differently? Right. Okay. I think your earlier the assistance that you gave to him was assisting us. The manner in which you want us now to engage, there's no way that you will quote what was happening and not tempt him not to account. What if a person is making a summary and that summary is wrong? It is going to make him, it will make it to be impossible for him to be in that position not to account if we attempted to go to that. But when you assert him to say no, we're dealing with him, we don't have a board, that ruling was very clear and straightforward. And if members can speak to that, I don't see us spending the next 40 minutes with him in that chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to be honest about this whole process. One is that it's unfortunate that we're discussing this in the presence of the candidate. But honestly, I don't see Mr. Lungiso responding outside his duties because he was the head of that institution. I would imagine, you know, because if he were to give any response outside what he did, because my last question was going to be, he must give us the highlights of what he did. The highlights, you know, what he thinks it could be done better, that's what I said he should. And that's a question that we've also asked other candidates. I don't see that question as being unsaid. And as a person who was driving, and as a person who also shows interest to serve there, he must tell us to say that. I feel that it's only fair that we can give him that opportunity to say, you know what, I was the driver of this agency. I feel that we did this right, we did this wrong, this is how we can improve, you know. And I don't see him giving us any question outside the agency because he was there, he was participating there. So it will not be fair for him, not for us to expect him to respond on issues that he was never involved. He was involved, there's no way that we can divorce him from that. That's an unfortunate part. I don't know. It's a fact. He was involved. He was the chair. We don't want him to account, but we want him to. Maybe also it's an opportunity for him to account and to clarify some of the issues that we did not understand. So now
can I propose, Mr. Andrew, I'm going to apologize for you. There is definitely something that you need to talk out with committee members. can we request you to excuse us for 5 minutes so that we sort out this, so that it does not affect you and we do not become unfair to you.
Now, all of the members, before you speak, you all know that in one of the meetings we had, in one of the meetings we had before yesterday, we have reached an agreement that we should not make people to account. That's a decision. If we had our minister, we should not make people to come and account here. We are talking to candidates. And there's nothing wrong.
Can I request everybody else to be outside except the good minister?
Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with any question, but the phrasing of the question is what matters in terms of the decision that we took previously. Yes, Mr. Angel Lungita was the chairperson of the NYC, we do agree. But let's phrase our question in such that it is in alignment with the decision we took and that we don't talk to him as the previous chairperson. Whether he responds as a previous chairperson or not is another thing, but our decision is what matters most. Honorable Kosana, Honorable Lenzane, Honorable Swati, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Banga, and Honorable Mtengwa. Mtengwa.
Chairperson, thank you for giving me this opportunity to say something on what you are saying. You see, Chairperson, not right what we are doing now. All of us. I must say it is not right what we are doing now. You can't argue before the candidate. Then the candidate might have a loophole on us and make sure that she wins the position. If she don't win, then the candidate doesn't have to go to court. Why should we do this? No, remember. No, let's come to our senses. Let's deal with interview. If there is a problem, let's try to deal it to deal with that problem with another way, rather than accusing one another before the candidate. And it's wrong even to take out the candidate outside to discuss another matter. Hellish, we're supposed to debate these things before we come here. No, can you stop this debate and call the candidate, and everybody must listen to the chair. When the chair is saying this, let us hear so that we move. Let us not embarrass ourselves. Really, members, I'm appealing to you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Jefferson.
I second Mr. Kosana in total. First of all, the Jefferson is correct, colleague. This was debated. I remember it was Honorable Mother Banker who wanted, he asked this question, and then we called him to order. I'm talking with the church and through the church. I'm saying, Chair, it was Honorable Mother Banga who asked this question as to how do we deal with these members. He had already counted questions, if you remember, wanting them to account, and we said no vote should be made to account. Now, immediately when the hunting is here, some members of the NYCA were here yesterday. That's because you said we had people who have been serving in the board yesterday. None of us asked them questions related to their work in the board. We would ask generic questions, but as they respond, they would refer to their experience. So I agree with that. Let's not. It's like now we are humiliating him and all that. And it's beginning to ask ourselves as to why in our society we should not live with him.
So, can I just intervene? There was a proposal that is, because I really felt that it was uncalled for, that all the hands were raised in front of the country. That's why I asked the country to go out. Because honestly, what happens is uncalled for. But the proposal by the Cossans, which has been seconded, can we close this discussion? We allow the candidates to come in with their honorable members. It's really uncalled for. It's not procedural what we have done.
My only problem is that you make a ruling on a wrong assumption. When I was raised by Umabe, there's a distinction between accounting and sharing the experience. I understood your ruling to mean he must not talk as a chairperson, but there's nothing wrong of him talking as a former chairperson of the board. And that was the essence of the question. And now you are making it as if he was made to account, and that's a wrong ruling. And when you intervene, you were very correct. You said to him, he must not talk as a chairperson, but there's nothing wrong in him talking as a former chairperson because of the experience that he had. So that's where the problem lies, and that's what created the problem. And I agree entirely with what was said by the court.
Your point is made, Honorable
Swati.
So, you raise up your hand, and
you
Honorable
Makuvela
of the last
question. Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. My apology, yesterday I was not here, but I would actually request members to adhere to what they have agreed, and there must be consistency. But on the other hand, we mustn't actually program people, you know, because I think people had different roles in the and as this body, we are also going to account. The media are going to phone us. Some people are also going to phone us and ask us why have we come to that particular conclusion after the process. So we need also to balance the two. I think Honorable Mali was right, because she is not actually insisting that he be accountable, but being part of what happened, you know, we must know as to whether what happened is not going to happen again if he's appointed. Because we're not saying he's going to be appointed. This is only general questions that we also want to find out what he is actually intending to do things differently this time.
To some camp up once more, and then indicate that we have agreed to have issues of interpretation. There's nothing wrong, and he is a member of the press. That was before he left. Even if it's the manner in which he speaks, but taking him again to say, you're going to make that he's not necessarily accounting and not saying.
I want to insist because the reason why before he comes here, we must all be clear in the same mind of how we go forward and Mr. Makubela has said. Firstly, Chair, there's nothing wrong that we had to adjourn when our decisions were making that process. Because our decisions have been consistent on this matter throughout. And what I expected from you, and you were supposed to have insisted on the position of the committee, because this is not a meeting of the committee now. This is an interview, and a decision already has been taken. And we're supposed to proceed in that particular session. When we're doing an interview, we're not starting a new meeting. We've taken it before, consistently, this decision. And it really looked to me that was beginning to be unfair to the Honorable the President and the Minister now. There is a thin line again, because it might continue between former, you see, between the experience and the accounting in this regard. Because his experience that the person is talking about is based on the NYDA, the work he has done. Who go there, give you an account. Just, you must be able to understand that. Just I'm saying, as he is doing that, if we ask that question, we must allow him to proceed and not interrupt him. Because the experience and the
can you bring him in that?
Can I say, remember, when a question has been asked and the candidate is here, can we refrain from raising our hands calling points of order? They will not be recognized.
Can you call him in, Aaron? Welcome back, Mr. Lungisa. We would really want to apologize for taking you out. But you might just say that there was actually nothing wrong. We just wanted to interpret and remind ourselves correctly of the decisions we took about the process and the integrity of the process, and also to make sure that we are fair to all of us. We are fair to members of parliament, including to yourself. So we just wanted to correct that situation. I don't know if you still remember the question that was posed to you, if you are not in, when you left, or should I, as our member, to pose the question that if you don't remember the question that was posed to you?
I remember whom it said, but so I'm going to make a follow-up.
You want to follow up?
No, I'm saying I responded to the question. The member of parliament was going to make a follow up was the end of that. I responded to the question.
Okay. Another one is the follow up. Just write your names down here. Honorable Banga.
Yeah. No, firstly, I must say that you must be comfortable that our approach throughout. And my first thing is to say there are perceptions out there that. The National Youth Development Agency continues to be used as an extension of the ANC to dispatch patronage to its members throughout the country. An example is a report on the dispatch about the National Youth Development Agency using resources of the NYDA in the Eastern Cape for ANC youth conferences. 42% of the NYDA budget goes to salaries. I understand that you also understand that part of that is that the Youth Commission, the Msobomvu staff had to get into the NYDA. How can we change this for better? Thank you. Other questions, part of my questions have been asked already. You have responded, by the way, to them. In the particular, the 125% and 22%.
No, thank you very much. I think our responsibility is to work on that perception that the National Youth Agency represents all young South Africans. I think all of us understand that MIT was created based on the merger. All of us have the responsibility of respecting the labor law in this country, because we can't simply say we're coming from someone who's funded the National Youth Commission. When you take over, you must simply fire them. But I think one of our tasks, if I can come back as to be part of the board, is to expand the footprint of the National Youth in Asia to make sure that the people who are part of Musobo and the Youth Commission are part of the new institution now. They then get deployed to our offices than to employ new staff. That's what we have been doing in the past, to make sure that we do not employ new people. And then we can be able to work on that 42% and take it up to 25%. So what we've been doing, we've been very clear that the money must go to programs. The money can't pay a million salary. That's why I was comfortable what I was put by Parliament. I never went and going to it and say, I need a bigger salary. In fact, I'm the person paid as the ordinary, like a ordinary South African, like a teaser, and the chair of the National Association. I never do it. It's not my issue. That's why now, if I can come back to make sure that all over the country, we deploy those people at the national office to run those branches in the municipalities, because it's important that the national Asian must be able to be accessible to ordinary young South Africans from villages, where they must not take free transport in order to reach the office of the national Asian. Thank you.
The
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. President. Good morning, Mr. Sinza. I think I've got one or two questions. Firstly, what are other major challenges facing the youth of this country, especially young people with disabilities and young women in our rural areas? And what kind of programs do you think are relevant going forward, taking into account the limited resources that you are having as the agency, or that you have indicated in the agency? And secondly, the youth out there in our areas are saying that they can't access the offices. What is the turnaround strategy? They can't access services in the rural areas. There are no offices, or other offices are closed. If you are appointed, what kind of programs do you think are relevant, or what is it that you're going to do for the services to be accessed by rural areas? Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. My task, it will to make sure that each and every municipality, there's the Office of the National Education, including universities and FHC colleges, where young people they can be able to access our products, our program. Also to encourage all other government partners to put information in the office of NYTA. At least if a young person goes to the office of NYTA, he knows there's a one-stop shop where I can be assisted even when it comes to the issues of national financial aid scheme, NFR. Young people want to get assistance of batteries and everything else. I think it's what we'll be able to do if I can come back. But I must be honest, in the past, we took almost less than 20 offices. We established more than 114 centers all over the country. I think we can be able to move with speed if I can be able to come back. But when it comes to young people with disabilities and young women, they are part of our program. They will be part of our program. We will prioritize young people with disabilities to make sure that they are part of the mainstream development. Also, young women, to make sure that at least we target them on number of programs which must be able to develop to make sure that they are part of the economy in this country. They are prioritized, they participate. I think it's what we'll be able to do better if I come back.
Good morning once more, Mr. Lohan. Let me start with this one. It's not on a lighter note, but it may be plain on a lighter note. Are you still a rural boy?
Yes. Oh, I come from the countryside.
I'm deliberate because I heard you mentioning PE. When I do not know you from that background. But now, I know that you and I understand that the reason behind the establishment of or creation of the notion of rural development was the fact that whenever then the ruling party was talking economic development, it wouldn't cater for the rural part of the country. Hence, there was this notion of rural development. Now, can you talk to us on rural development, but now enhancing economic development of young people in those people, I mean in those areas, understanding their demographic, where they are actually located. Thank you.
Thank you very much about the question. I think that's the part all of us who have to take it very seriously. In South Africa, 57% of our population lives in the rural areas, not in the urban areas. But we've got a responsibility of making sure that we build industrial standards in the rural areas, where we must assist people who are living in the rural areas not to move to urban cities. At least they can be able to get jobs, they can be able to get employment in the rural area. I think that is our strategy. It will be my strategy. I started, if you go to Kerkut in the Eastern Cape, you put a big farm, 17 million, where more than 500 young people they were employed. But I think we'll expand that. If you go to Mtubato in Durban, we put a huge factory of chicken farming. Young people, I think we must be able to go to the rural area and make sure that if we talk about industrial development and then we assist, if we go to the rural area, our people for centuries, they managed to keep their own livestock, their cattle, their goats, their sheep in the rural area. For centuries, they fought, they survived wars of resistance in this camp. I think in the rural areas, in fact, in the, those people are staying in the rural areas, they control more than 5.2 of the livestock. They control the majority of the livestock. We need to turn that around. It's important to make sure that young people are involved in agriculture, they are involved in farming in the rural areas, where we can make sure that in South Africa, we are one of the number one countries in the African continent when it comes to food production. I think what must be able to do is to change the situation in the rural areas, which is one of the areas which I'm very passionate about, to make sure that at least more investment, development goes to our people, because they live in the rural area, the majority of them.
I like MNT Lungisa, when you are answering, you are mentioning the fact that one would be happy when we see South Africa being number one when we're talking countries in Africa. But I want to reduce it to SADC in particular, because you will see young people flowing from these neighboring countries into South Africa. Now, if then you are fortunate to be part of NYCA, what then would be your take into your surrounding rural countries, underdeveloped countries around South Africa? Okay, for instance, you have got this new country which is now bombarded day in, day out, Southern Sudan. What would you say?
No, thank you very much. On our side, what we'll also do, in Zimbabwe, for example, when I was in the chair of the National Association, I assisted the youth council in Zimbabwe to get $10 million from Ulmoshwar, which will assist them to develop all the systems. The Minister of Internationalization is currently implementing that program, Titan Kasukwa. In Namibia, we have hosted them, in the Sotho, we have hosted them. We have even hosted young people in DRC, towards the RC is a tropical can. We've got barren land where we can take young South Africans to go and be involved in agriculture in the RC and work with young people in the RC. The new country, Southern Sudan, have hosted young people from South who have visited South who are assisting them on issues of youth development. I think if I can be part of the National Meeting Agency to make sure that that program of assisting subject countries, including African countries, when it comes to development, it becomes a program which will assist the whole African continent. We can also take young South Africans outside of South Africa, because there are many opportunities in the neighboring countries in the African continent. But especially in South Africa, we do not want to move in South Africa, because I think the thing, if we talk about the regional integration of economies, in SADC opening up the African continent, we have to take young South Africans all over the African continent where they can be involved in agriculture, where they can be involved in mining, also in other strategic sectors of the economy.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chairperson. I will just do one question. To win the support and also the trust of people, then we must make sure that there is a situation of good government and also the service to the people which we are serving. Now my question is, in connection with good government, what will you do if you are going to be elected as a board member to ensure that there is good government in the NYDA, especially through the system provided in the entity? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will make sure that the Companies Act is observed if I become part of the National Media. I'll make sure that the TFNA is of that. Also, King Ku and King Ku report, it should be the guiding document to make sure that we adhere to the standards of good governance and to maintain the record of the passport, to make sure that we take the institution to the higher level where we must also minimize and win the confidence of South Africans, especially in our country.
The follow up question on the
group. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Mr. Lomisa. I just want to find out that over the next 3 years, obviously, the board will be taking on new responsibilities, given that the first 3 years were primarily about establishment. And so, what are the key priorities in your view? Should be that of the board over the next 3 years within the parameters of the Act which governs the NYDA, linking that possibly to what is your vision for the NYDA over the next 3 to 5 years. Thanks.
No, my vision with here is to push and fight hunger, unemployment among young people, to focus on his development. What I can do, which I've observed before 1994, what happened in South Africa before 1994, the government of apartheid used the army bases to train young people in this camp. That's why if you go at Danel today, you go at Transnet today, you go at Forestnet today, you go at South African Airways, SAA, all the pilots, we trained through a program which was run through the class. If I can be the chairperson, if I can come back to the MIT, I will make sure that we use all those beds in the army bases all over the country, where we can make sure that at least each and every year we put not less than 300,000 young South Africans on the training program, where they can be deployed all over the country. Because the piecemeal approach, as noticed in the past, it is not going to work. We need to be aggressive to make sure that each and every year we take not less than 300,000 young South Africans on the training programs where they can be artisans, they can be boilermakers, they can be bricklayers, where they can have technical skills, other they later become engineers, and then they can be deployed in the various areas in the camp where we can be able to address the issue of skills. Not with the current debate of we succeed, where we want to take the challenges and skills development and education, and then we transport it through we succeed. I think it's what we can do and take that fight beyond from Trezor, which has been put aside for we succeed. You talk to banks, you give banks a guarantee of $1 billion, where we take risk, and then they put additional $2 billion. If you take $1 billion, for example, to Standard Bank, they will then put additional $3 billion, $4 billion, and then SMEs, they can then apply and get that money because the government has taken risk, and then we found out through that $5 billion, we can create almost more than 700,000 jobs in a year, not in 3 years. And then at least we can see young people carrying bags, moving in villages, getting to standard of employment in their villages all over the country. At least it can be more revolutionary. The situation can be able to change. If you go to Vietnam today, it's one of the countries which has been confirmed by the United Nations that is going to meet 2014 developmental goals. Which we can achieve that in South Africa. Unemployment is sitting at 2.5% in Vietnam, which they came from a serious war in 1975. Which in South Africa we can change that situation. I don't agree where we're saying we'll create jobs, in 5 million jobs in the next 10 years. And then I'm simply saying, if I become part of the MID, we'll revolutionize, we'll change the situation.
Questions yourself quickly, and I agree with that. But let me also ask you a question. I have some question, and I know why I'm asking it. It's even in the record that we got from you or from my team, that's been fine. And I want to put it this way, that given the fact that our third world in panel, or as the committee, we're not going to say to the are you in a position to serve the board in any capacity? I think you'll be able to respond to that. My main question, Chair, is that the challenges facing young people are huge and probably known by yourself, particularly when it comes to businesses, where you find that most of those businesses collapse. In your time. What are your views around sustainable development where we've got a situation where these companies or initiatives as they are started by young people or for young people are paid? We don't invest and have wasteful kind of investments and so on. The second, which will be probably the last, do you think there are legislative bottlenecks in the provision of the law as it is now, or you believe it's actually sufficient for you to have faith and do your kind of work, or for the NYDA to do its work within the given legislative framework?
Thank you very much. Now, I'm always at the service of young people and the citizens of this country, so whatever capacity. Not married to any position. The third question around about the issue of legislation. When I was in the chair, I was hoping that the ARCO committee won't focus only on the issue of appointing the new board of the National Commission. It would also have a mandate of amending the Act of the Nationals in Asia, which is Section 75, to be Section 76, where it can be able to hold institutions, either government departments, local municipalities, accountable when it comes to development. Because the current Act does not propel, does not force government departments, it is more of a friendly approach. They will put that proposal, when I think they said, put the president that let's amend the Act. At least we can make sure that the Act is very strong. It can also hold provinces, municipalities, national government, departments to maintain youth development. I think if I come back, we'll be sweet and make sure that the Act must be able to have to appeal, must be able to fight, because the current Act is not fighting, which is a major limitation. On the issue of sustainable businesses, I think if I'm part of the board, I would advocate that let's expand the program of mentors to make sure that each and every young person is got a mentor. There are many people in Parliament, there are many people who have run their own successful businesses. There are a number of professionals in South Africa which they can volunteer, and then we use their services to mentor young South Africans. Because if you look, for example, in Europe, during the Euro crisis, countries which have managed to survive is Germany, and then in France, Greece, Spain, they're in crisis. It's because they're in crisis, they have not focused on SMEs. Germany, they focus on SMEs, that's why they're still holding. America, they're still holding because they focus on SMEs. It's what we're saying, let's take that approach in South Africa and make sure that people, they run their community projects, they run their own small businesses. At least they can be able to create jobs for themselves. They will create jobs for 5 people, they will create jobs for 20 people. I think that's a way to go in South Africa, where young people, they can be part of the mainstream economy, not to focus on technology. Where young people, they will be producers. Because in South Africa, we're a consuming society. We are not producing. We have to assist young people to produce and not to be consumers. I think that's the approach that will take if one become part of the board.
Honorable Kubera, do you have a follow-up question?
Even if it's not exactly follow-up, Chair, but I think we may need to have your view on the social cohesion part of the responsibility of the NYC in terms of whether we are towards any realization of any programs in that regard.
Yes, not become our responsibility, all of us as members of the society, especially the young people, to build the highest levels of social consciousness among the young South Africans. If you go to Namibia and then you ask a young Namibian, what do you want to achieve? They will tell you want to remain in the land of the brave. If you go to Chuba, you ask young Chubans, what do you want to achieve? They will tell you want to remain as defenders of the revolution. If you go to America, you ask young Americans what they want to achieve. They will tell you want to achieve the American dream. If you come to South Africa, you ask young South Africans what you want to achieve. We speak in different voices. It becomes our responsibility to build that consciousness among young South Africans, that all of us must be able to know that we want to build a country which is united, a diverse country, where all of us must be able to prosper. In the youth police, everything is explained clearly, which was in the past, through our participation, have made sure that through the National Planning Commission, that vision is part of the National Planning Commission, which I think all of us, if I become part of the National Planning Commission, that's a vision which will make sure that all young South Africans in school, they must know the national colors. They must be able to sing the national anthem. They must be able to proud South Africans. I think if I become part of the board of the NYP, it's what we'll be able to do to make sure that we're proud. Even if a young South African in America can stand tall and say, I'm a South African.
Sir,
so,
thank you very much.
Honorable Kubai.
Thank you, Coach. I think that is welcome, Mr. Lomisa. I think it's appropriate that you explain to Mr. Lomisa why other members I'm not asking him questions. I'm not supporting the decision of the committee that would be consistent. Other candidates were asked by 10 members yesterday. So we are keeping on the consistency. So don't think anyone would even ask your question. It's the continual presence. So that at least it's clear check. Mr. Lungisa, I've noticed in your CV the reflector that you have been involved in the international work. One of it, you've reflected that you've attended an international work on indigenous knowledge. Are you still involved in that field?
So I'm still much involved on that aspect of indigenous knowledge systems. I can I've been involved at the younger age, especially on the issue of African plants, to make sure that the African plants are protected. For example, when you've got a flu, you'll given mushroom, and then you'll get healed. And then I think the same, if we protect, we preserve what belongs to us, especially African, we'll be able to prosper for all the medication that is free. The Zamba, the drugs which are using, it comes from the African plants. Yes, I'm still highly involved.
What is your specific role within your involvement in the field? Noise
preservation and the development of indigenous knowledge systems to be able to have, if we talk about social development, at least we must use the African way of development. If we talk about economic development, must use the African aspect when it comes to that development. I am involved in that aspect.
The question I'm asking is specifically your role. I understand the concept of it, but your role, when you say you are involved, is it on the level of attending the workshop, contributing theoretically in advocating the work, or do you have a specific organization you belong to that does this work? That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, not to be specific, when I was young in Port Elizabeth, I think it was 1999, we discovered a plant in Port Elizabeth, around about the issue of HIV and AIDS. So it was believed by the Western approach, it won't assist us. That plant is part of the CSIR, which I think is almost 7 to 8 years, which is under research, which it has managed to go through clinical trials and everything else, which is doing very well. Well, I think the thing is Africans can be able to respond to this issue, which is killing our continent. But I'm not saying in this meeting that we've discovered a job. I'm simply saying there's that process. But broadly, because I came through that plan, I then participated at a broader level. In fact, broader, yes.
Just a follow-up, another question specifically. What do you think becomes the role of NYTA as an agency, institution, when it comes to public opinion? Currently we have the issues of the major, I think we spoke about the issue of the wage subsidy bill, and the other issue that I'm thinking of, the issue of the gala. What becomes the role of this type of an institution in the public domain as a youth agency? What do you think and how should it change?
Thank you very much for the question. National Youth is based on the Act. It's got the responsibility of coordinating youth development, mainstreaming youth development, also to index the youth development vertically and horizontally. That's the responsibility of the National Youth. If there's a debate on wage subsidy, if the President of the Republic speaks on the wage, on the youth wage subsidy, at least must get advice from the NYTA. If the Minister of Finance speaks on the issue of youth wage subsidy, at least it should have been advised by the National Minister. If there's a teacher where it's paraded in this country, which it becomes a wrong picture, because all of us who are a diverse country, who must respect one another, it becomes the responsibility of the National Institution to give guidance to young South Africans that at least all of us in our constitution, it has been put clearly that let's respect our diversity. who must not help other South Africans to come up with others to be diversified. If you may be an artist, you belong to this society, which is a diverse society, which you must respect other people's tradition, other people's culture. I think it becomes the responsibility of MIT to be able to educate young South Africans, also to be able to give them guidance when it comes to public discourse. I think that was the question which was later asked by Honorable Macbeth, that around about the issue of consciousness, of building young South Africans who are highly conscious, which they must even know which direction that we must be able to take as a country.
Thank Dr. Lungisa. Before we finalize, the current in South Africa, there was a hullabaloo about the issue of the ethos, housing ethos. Whether it is right or wrong, it's a wrong debate. I'm just premising my question with this statement. Now, the CEO of Sundown resigned because of this hullabaloo. Because the society, as you know, people are rising against the ethos. Now, my direct question to you is that if you critically look at yourself and given the challenges that face young South Africa and the hullabaloo that young South Africans themselves have, with some issues you alluded to, do you think you are fit to be a member of the board?
I believe as a generation of 2012, why generation which must define the commission, there are two options. It's either we fulfill it or we betray it. Any generation got that time. But I'm part of the generation which must be able to fulfill our mission. I will never run away from the challenges, the constraints which are faced by young South Africans. I must be part of the people of the generation which must be able to provide solutions. I do not want a situation that I'm no longer alive. And then generation, they will say this generation of funding never played any role. It is a generation which failed South Africa. That's my approach in life. Regarding the CEO of ETOL, I don't know what influenced him to resign. I can express my views on other times on that issue of ETOL.
Okay, no, I was not saying that. Thank you very much, Mr. Lungisa, for coming to us and responding. My last question would be, in terms of the process, the manner in which Parliament has conducted the whole process of the NYDA, the appointment of the NYDA board, do you think the process was fair, or do you think there are areas which we need to improve?
No, if I don't have board, I know I get criticized. When I was in the MIT, even in future, I was criticized. I know myself I've got a responsibility. I don't have any space where I must not be organized in the field of youth development world. The constituents which I'm dealing with is very impatient, dynamic, very energetic. I was highly disappointed when the interviews were postponed time and again by Parliament. It was all of us who respect Parliament, the upper house and the lower house, that is the biggest institution which must guide the development of society at large, all South Africa. they expect Parliament to be highly organized. I think I was not happy with that process. But I must be honest that I'm happy that the interviews have taken place. Members of Parliament have been critical, they've been very open in their questions, which I'm, as I believe, I'm very, very happy. I'm also happy that young people that are in charge in this Parliament, they constitute the majority, which it becomes also a responsibility that those achievements, they must also be attributed to me.
I think you are overrating yourself. Just correcting for the houses, we don't have lower houses and upper houses. There's one parliament is two houses, so they are equal. So they can't, there's no lower and so on and upper. Do you have any question that you want to ask before we release?
No. Thank you very much. No, I'm happy that I've managed with Sarah Thompson to be able to solve the house. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. You can see one of our mothers, she said she has concert watchers. I don't know what you call them. You can get them. She's very friendly. She can offer them to you. Maybe they'll make you feel okay. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
The candidate for 9 o'clock was this, and we took Honorable Minister. The candidate for 10 o'clock is this, because I think it's fair to choose the candidate for 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
This one who was this must come in the process and they can be at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think it's only fair.
Yeah, can you then bring Randy Lomachos?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for another thing. This is what my attention. If you look at the CV, Honorable Kengwa was not a member of Parliament at that time. The nomination happened. He's the one who nominated Honorable Matthew. So in light of that, because there might be conflict of interest, the proposal is that Mr. Kengwa does not ask any questions relating to the candidate who is here, so that the Senate. I don't know if Mr. Honorable Kengwa nominated the next candidate for the position of the board in his capacity as president of the youth president. He was not yet a member of parliament at that time. Currently, he's a member of parliament. He's sitting in this committee for the interview. And the person he had nominated, Zandile Majuz, is the next candidate we are about to interview. In order to avoid the issue of conflict of interest, because he's the nominee. The process now, the proposal is that during the interview of Ms. Majuz, Honorable Kengwa does not ask a question. That's the proposal.
Honorable Sofara was the first person to raise a question. Honorable Swati. Honorable Sayangwa and Honorable Nyambi.
Thank you very much. Is it enough for a member not to participate? Or rather, a member must excuse the house? Well, the interest is public check. I might sit down here and listening to the interview, and the question is posed to the person whom I nominated. And one way or another, somewhere, it will be a way where I will be linking the interviews conducted to other candidates to my candidate, and make that interest maybe bigger than what it was. I don't know what does the Act says. If the Act allows, then a member must excuse after the interview. But will be in the house and listening. I don't know, but I'm just asking. But if the Act allows that, a member should be inside and be passive. But the interest is still there. I don't know. We'll just deal with this matter so that we come up here and not even maybe
making a member being isolated in the process, but let's try and look to the Act itself. It does a lot. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think the co-chair has covered me because I raised this with her yesterday. As I'm sitting here, I don't want to follow up on that one of the concerns I said. I was going to request, in fact, as fair as what you are saying, I sit on this panel to excuse myself from this interview for the sake of objectivity. Not to say the fact that, yes, the interviews are being broadcast live and so on, but at the same time, I can feel that it's fair because I did not mean as chairman. I made it on behalf of the structure. But I still feel that, because at the time I did not know how to come to Parliament, but for the sake of progress, I want to excuse myself from this.
Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, you are making something that is not complicated to be difficult for us as a party. Had we known yesterday, my proposal was going to be different. Now we are in the middle of interviews, and we even took a resolution that says those that were not part of us yesterday, they are not going to participate, because we don't want to make a mockery of the situation. We want to be very objective, and objectivity, if you want to be objective, there's no way that you can be selective. He was asking a question in the previous candidate. And I will agree with the notion that you say another person will take his questions and ask them, because that's where it will make us to be consistent in terms of questions. Because how do we deal with the power of scoring? We have had a candidate today, we're done with it, we want to be consistent in terms of questions, and now we're taking him out. It's like saying, let's review the decision of those that we said are not going to participate. So for the sake of sustaining continuity and not being selective, when I talk about objectivity, let's agree that he can be part, he's not going to ask, but let's have another person who's going to ask the very same question that he was asking, so that they can assist us in terms of scoring, because that was important. But a disservice has been done if he was alerted, because we knew as early as yesterday that the candidate is coming today. It's not that it's an issue that is transpiring now. That's my sufficient, Chairperson.
Well, I like all other members, I'm hearing it for the first time.
Because in fact, he is there now, it is structure, which nominates. There are many other countries there who have been nominated by structure. and parliament is composed of members coming from his body of staff in actual fact. Because immediately you say you allow that he experience himself today, what then would happen today? The critical day. So, hence I say, this isn't the question part for me. There's nothing wrong. Because we're all here, and we have been saying consistency. For instance, as the panel now, you know my questions. Who are related to what? You know my last question. We know this question. So, there's no change now.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think Honorable Chamber has done just on the right thing of asking to be recused. Because, you know, if you nominated someone and then you're also going to ask that particular person a question, you know, and you have been here yesterday, we're not sure, you know, what for that during the night. But I think for objectivity and for security's sake, to also cover ourselves, I think he has just proposed a very good thing. I support what he is saying. That's why when I was to speak, I requested you to go to him before so that I can speak thereafter. I think members who are here can ask questions. Those who actually were here yesterday, then they can score. I think it's only that matter. And the Honorable just indicated that it was discussed yesterday, it was going to be different. But because it's happening today, I think he has just proposed a
very
yeah. I hope that you're not suppressing me because of Honorable Bar. Okay. You see, Chief, frankly, one thing we should always start from when we started the process, we emphasize to each and every member that will be interviewing South Africa. As we get these people coming here, whoever nominated them, we look at them as South Africans. It's our collective understanding that we're doing this thing objectively. I want to raise this because I want you to understand that this panel's responsibility is to apply objectivity and select South Africans on the basis that they are South Africans, not on the basis where they're coming from. I'm raising this because the Congress of the People for Defense also have nominated, which I'm a president of the youth of the Congress of the People. I have not necessarily written a nomination myself, which is the secretary of returning. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm out of that decision of the Congress of the People Youth Movement. The Youth League have nominated. We know that there are members of the ANC Youth League that are here, ANC for itself. That it doesn't necessarily mean that when a structure is here, you are outside that. But what has always been emphasized by you to all of us, particularly here, that we are here assigned by the Parliament of South Africa to look at the youth of South Africa as South Africans, as the youth was doing. Mm-hmm. But with the request of Mr. Shen, if he is requesting himself is asking this house on his personal capacity as a member to be recused, I won't say no, but it should not be a fact that was taken that decision. He has requested himself to be recused on the
thank you. That's what I'm saying. I'm not surprised you. I'm not surprised you.
I think I would agree with those who are saying we're taking to know the matter now, and it's a slightly complicated one. But for now, my view is that let's note the matter and allow the members to participate without it, conclude, we then have notes. On the last day when we discuss this option, we'll be able to deal with the issue. And this was everything went on and on and on. There are ways of handling this very issue without necessarily. Let's withdraw the scoring now. But let's note it aside. Whether it's called or something, if we decide that will not matter, then we'll take that decision now.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Nyambi. You are right. Today, I think it's called
don't know, we're not in parliament. It's a bit difficult to proceed the meeting, but I think all members are right. We may be members of parliament, as Vanga was saying, but we from different political parties. And the signature part of it is another issue. So I think we should allow the Honourable Member to participate, to sit with us. We'll handle it. We will, at the end of the product, when we finalize the product, we will see how to deal with this issue. Because otherwise, every time a candidate comes in, those who are in their political parties, are we going to request members of that political party to recuse themselves? So I think we should proceed in that manner and agree that we should call in the Zandile Majozi, the candidate.
What I heard, the coach has said that the 10 o'clock, the coach has said that the first one was on time for that time, and then this other one will come in for a long time. No, you said that because the first candidate was supposed to be the first one. Now, Zandile has been here on time, but Lerato would not be interviewed now, so we'll go to the space of Mr. Lungi. That's what you said.
I think if we talk of objectivity and integrity, I understand the issue of if you are nominated by a political party, but if I am the one in that political party nominated to you, it's different. It's not like if it is a political party that they need me, but there is nobody in this who's interviewing the very same person he nominated, you know? That's where the objectivity comes in. Then I have a problem with that one. Because if I nominate somebody, even if I'm doing it on behalf of the party, but it is me who nominated this particular issue. That's where the difference is. So for objectivity, I think Honorable Shangwa is high. But everywhere where there might be a conflict of interest, people will cast themselves. So
Your point is made. You want to take another bite?
Yes. What we're saying, we're not the whole out. What we're saying is that the matter is in order. We're proceeding with him. There are many ways to handle the thing. If a person calls and we see, it will be there when we come up. And we think that this kind of call should not be included. We will be acting in that decision and not at this point in time. You know? We're not the whole. I'm not at a foot and proceeding with ruling the matter completely out. I don't think a particular percentage of 9 people and a percentage of 10 people are different, but almost the same thing when you look at percentage time. And so let's avoid finalizing right here and now. Because to me, if a person is in the same executive committee for the purpose of a trust, but the federal system is somewhere there, and that trust is nominated, and that person is sitting here, there's still a complication. You can't say it because you are not a federal farmer, you are in the same committee.
Okay, now thank you, members. Let me remind you once again, members, what you said yesterday. While the scoring is very important, but it's not a determining factor. That's what he said yesterday. It's not the only determining factor of who the final candidate would be. This process is important. Our engagement and taking into consideration everything would then be a determining factor. Right? We can score a person 2 or 1, but through our engagement, we may feel that it is important for him or her to make it. So I think the ruling would then be would allow all our members to be part of the meeting and proceed as normal. As we ask questions, it is up to him if he wants to ask the question or not. Every member has the right to ask or not to ask the question. That is up to him. At the point when I said all our members and he's not asking a question, that is what he wants.
as we did yesterday. So can you please call in the candidate? Members, I'm reminded that we are way running out of time because today there's a lot of engagement, healthy engagement, but let's also take into consideration that we need to be healthy on time. So how we pose questions, because we are the ones now who are having time because it's our duty to speak. Let's only stop you, don't say you're unfair. Ms. Bandile Matrosi, you are welcome. I am Colin Maina. Next to me is Honorable Fulai Kubai, the co-chairperson, and the honorable members of the of Parliament. Let us take this opportunity to apologize for calling you in a bit later. I think about 10 or 20 minutes later. But we appreciate your patience. Feel free, and that there's water next to you. Be comfortable. Now, honorable members who are going to ask questions, at the end of the process, we'll also allow you to ask a question if you have a question, right? So relax, there's water, you can take water. Now, we are going to allow honorable members of parliament the opportunity to ask the question. You know what to apply for. Now, they will ask the question. We'll start with the Honorable Divider.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I will skip a few words in my question, just go straight to the question. And the question is in connection with governance. If you are going to be elected as a member of the NYDA, what will you do to ensure that good governance is actually the situation into the entity? Can you just brief us on that? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Member. No, I think what I would be able to do is to make sure that we are accountable for what we do and make sure that we be honest and transparent about everything that we will be doing. We were mandated by the Youth of South Africa to have the National Youth Development Agency, and we just be transparent about everything that we do and report back to them as well of all the programs that are taking place. So that will mainly strengthen the good governance in South African young people. We have a follow-up on our own decision. Thank you very much. Honorable Mala.
Hello, Zani.
Hi.
Okay. That's because we have an hour for you. Zani, there is a perception that the National Youth Development Agency is an extension of the ANC to dispatch patronage to its members. How can you change that for you in order for the youth of us to see differently?
Oh, thank you very much. I think we can change that perception by when you go out there to people, to young people, we explain how the NYDA works. We explain all the functions and of the establishment of the NYDA, and people must know that the NYDA is a program of the government, it's not a program of the ANC. And if maybe we can be able to do that, then it is easy to shift away the perception of people thinking that the NYDA is only for the cadres of the ANC. And that's for the mere fact that we shortlisted another member of the other political parties, it's an extension also on that.
So 2% of the budget of the NYDA is used for staff and salaries. What is the turnaround strategy? 25% to 75%, 25% of the South African population, 72% of that a youth unemployed, how to turn around that? It's two questions, but one.
Yes. I think the 42% is, if I may say so, a bit ridiculous to spend on administration only. Maybe if you can reduce it, certain income, pay people on their job specification, and we can live on a normal wage, not a sum number of wage. Like, we can just reduce maybe salaries and maybe look at the bonuses on how to reduce that also, because we need that money to put them into other programs as well. As of the 25% of the 72% is young people who are not working, and it's for the NYTA to make sure that all these functions that it does, it creates more jobs, it creates more sustainability and skills for young people in South Africa, and be more outright on young people and focus on certain points or certain areas where we know that young people are not actually skilled or improved in any way, and make sure that we try and promote them.
Thank you, Honourable Makula. Honourable Makula.
Thanks, let me ask you this question on the economic participation by young people. The understanding generally is that most business activities by young people are not sustainable. They collapse each time they are set to get into this business. It's not just the South African phenomenon. There was really a world summit on sustainable development because sustainability is an issue. You yourself, yeah, I just mentioned sustainability not very long ago. Now, what do you think should be done to have sustainable businesses for young people?
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think first and foremost, maybe if, as young people in South Africa, if we can give skills and give training to the people that will be managing their own businesses, to say if you managing this business, then you should actually have that thing, that feeling, and that passion that you will be doing this thing, and so that it creates that sustainability. And also us, we should be able to monitor all the businesses that are funded to say, if this business is funded, what is that is needed, research on it, and make sure that those people who will be managing that business have the capacity of doing so. I think that would help.
Social question, which I think if you have an interest in going through, what is the responsibility of NYTA, you will have come across parts of the area, which even as a country would be around social question. What do you think should be done to enhance that kind of institutional program that as a country or as one would be moving fast in direction and as no legal position as a leader of the country?
Well, thank you very much. No, I think if the only thing that we can do in social cohesion is to make sure that we engage young people more, make sure that they understand that we'll be moving from one place, from one level to another, and we must move as one. So we just create that engagement amongst young people every time when we having programs or we having workshops, you make sure that you make them understand what, where are we now, where do we come from, and where do you want to see ourselves in the future, and for the future generation that is coming after us. Is your mic on?
No, I think the issue would be what is it that we think is not being done properly now? Because that has been planned on, and if we were to be given this opportunity to be in the board, what do you think should be done to be different? What is it that is not being done? Because if you think that something that maybe done even now, and if you are going there to be still doing the same thing to the business as you. And I thought you must take that question out of what we have been encouraged.
I think maybe if we can make you participate more into programs, because there's some number of young people who do not even know what is the NYTA or what is social cohesion to say. And our aim would be to find out where are these people located and how do we do outreach programs on them, how do we make them be part and parcel of the society, how do we make them understand that they have a right at the end of the day to programs that have been done for young people in South Africa.
Thank you, Honourable Makubela. Honourable Mlenda.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Ms. Major. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Major, let me not assume. Let me start by asking, do you understand the demographics of South Africa, particularly in the context of youth, the majority of youth of South Africa?
Yes, I do understand it.
Can you just briefly explain to us?
We've got youth in rural areas, youth in urban area. Yeah, I think youth in rural areas and youth in urban areas, like in KZN, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, we've got an urban youth that live there, we've got rural areas where youth live in Eastern Cape, then your Eastern Cape.
I heard you talking of a sizable number of youth who do not understand what NYTA is and what's happening within the NYTA. My question, the reason why I asked the question is whether you understand the democratic was actually provoked by your response to that. And one now wants to ask you, how would you, if you are fortunate, you form part of the board, How then would you see to it that the presence of the NYTA is not just had but practically spent in those rural areas deep there? And when we're talking rural areas, you would know the South African context. That when we're talking about South Africa alone, it doesn't happen. If you are talking at the South African declaration, you must, when talking South Africa, talk even the neighboring countries. Because if you go to Joburg, for instance, it's flooded by youth from the neighboring countries. So, what will be done if you are part of the NYTA? That will do. Start from the South African context, then move to
I think maybe if we can focus on, there's this problem that was in the previous members of the board that was present, I think they made of having the newspaper of the NYCA. Maybe if we can promote that a lot, especially in urban areas, but in rural areas especially, we can focus if a young person who lives in Uganda has to go 100 kilometers to reach the NYCA, then it is not fair on that person. We must also think of how to actually bring the NYCA to that person by maybe creating satellite offices in rural areas where we know that the NYCA is a bit far away from where they actually reside, and give them those newspapers, inform them about the NYCA, and bring them into programs, make a program on that area, and tell them what is it that the NYCA is mandated to do, and so that they understand what is this NYCA that is will be told of, and yeah. I think if you can set up satellite offices near in rural areas, in urban areas, have those newsletters that is available, the NYCA is here for young people in school and young people out of school, so that they could all coordinate and so on.
And what about
Sadia? Oh, okay. On that one, as the Constitution says, that everyone who lives in South Africa forms part of South Africa, we initiate a program as well to them to say this is what we have and how they may come about on involving themselves on those programs, as we know that they come in and out every day, and we just try to make them feel as South Africans also if they are here, and make them see and view the National Youth Development Agency, and maybe take those programs back to their countries to develop their own countries as well, to say how to develop young people in Africa as a whole.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Hello, Nyambi.
Thank you.
My name is Majul.
Can you share with us your understanding of the role of the National Youth Development Agency?
It's to integrate and maintain young people's lives in public organs, private sector, and stakeholders as a whole, and make sure that we create a sustainability of livelihoods of young people.
Given that in South Africa we have got a lot of young people facing serious challenges, and even in this advent, you have a lot of them having an interest. Why do you think you are one of the most appropriate that has to be considered to be given the opportunity to be a board member?
First and foremost, I'm passionate about young people, as I am a young person, and I'm determined to work for them, and I'm very effective. So I think that would actually give me an opportunity.
Honorable Margaret.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Honorable Member.
As a young woman, should you get an opportunity, you will be participating at the national structure. I want you to briefly share with us as to
what is it that you will do to encourage young women also to participate on issues of social development?
Oh, okay. I think first maybe we need to maybe give that opportunity to young women to say they must be part and parcel of programs that are happening in the NYCA, in the youth programs as a whole. And maybe they must also steer ahead or on programs that are there. And also we must make sure that we involve them in many things that are happening, because there is a number of young people, young women who are successful, but it is a very small percentage. We need to increase that into another percentage, but we can only do that by making sure that we empower them in skills, we empower them by involving them in programs and making sure that they form part and parcel of the young people in South Africa.
Do you think that the agenda of the NYC is relevant? That's one. The second issue is that is it felt by the constituency that is supposed to be representing? Within that constituency, again, we have a special sector which is disability. Children and youth, let me just speak to the youth living with disability. Do you think that they feel that they feel the existence of the NYDA and has it benefited them? If you get an opportunity to participate in the structure, what is it that you do to make sure that the plight of the disabled in particular is being taken care of?
Well, thank you very much. Can you please repeat your first question?
No, yeah, I was taking if the agenda of the NYCA is still relevant. I'm still on the question.
Oh, okay.
Is it relevant in itself, you know, the young people? Does it make sense to them? Do you think it should exist? It is a question that you think that it will help and it will also change their life. Do they feel that way? And also, as a young person who comes from the rural areas, right? Or you're from Soweto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from Soweto. Has it impacted on your life or on the lives of other people that you, in the neighborhood or that you know?
On the part of being relevant, I think it is relevant because it's a program that is focusing on young people. But on the part of being it felt by every young person that lives in South Africa, I don't think it has reached that part yet. Because in Soweto, yes, I can say we have all the opportunities. We've got Maponya Mall that has the office of the NYDA. Everybody knows about it. When you go to Maponya Mall, you can even see the board of the NYDA that is there. But for maybe other young people, it is not that much felt because they don't even know about it. People cannot feel something that they don't know about it. Maybe if you can expose it more on media, on radio, and have that more of a relevance on it again. And on the issue of people with disability. Charity begins at home. Maybe if we can also start by making sure that even at their homes, their families feel comfortable living with those people, so that whenever they go out, they feel that they are part of the society as a whole. And not maybe create special programs for them, but maybe involve them in programs that are there. And also with them, also make them spearhead some of the programs that are available and reduce the discrimination of disabled people and also empower them in schools.
Just last question,
Sure.
Do you think should be done to make sure that the
programs of NYDA are also catered for in local government, or let me rather say, how would you ensure that local government also take part in whatever the NYDA would be doing?
I think it's very important that, because we've got all three levels of government, and if we can be able to make sure that the NYDA also coordinates with local government, because local government is where actually the groundwork is being done on people at the ground level. So we can start by, because we've got youth units, we've got youth desk, maybe involve those programs into the NYDA to say if they have something, then they must also have that part of the NYDA, so that people will be attending that workshop or those programs actually get exposed to what the NYDA is doing, how does it help, and how can they come to it and get help.
Oh, thank you very much. Good morning, Ms. Matus. In your CV, there's somewhere where you talk about you have been an ambassador of Love Life, yes, in Soweto. Can you share with us your success stories? Because I know Love Life is engaging in so many programs with regard to youth and other programs that affect their life. So can you share with us your success stories and the challenges that you are facing? Because there's an outcry out there that Love Life is getting a lot of money, but you are not disabled. Oh, okay, thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think at first the Love Life money to make sure that it in all these programs that it does, it takes away the youth from sleep to programs that have been done there, and that eliminates early pregnancy and getting sexually orientated at an early age, and because we used to actually help them and tell them that how to live as a young person, how to control your life as a young person, and also have those family values from home to where we are, and it helped a lot. A lot of young people were helped with the mindset, with the moral, with the behavior of a young person. That's how it has helped also. But the challenge was that we've got a lot of young people, and we need also to make them have an interest in participating in programs that are there. But we were challenged by finding that solution of how do we get them all at once, because it is a problem from Soweto to get all young people of Soweto into one area and make them participate in those programs, because they've got different interests and different needs at the same time. Some of them come from very disadvantaged families, and for us it was very difficult for that, but we managed to make sure that in their mindset and morally and as a behavior as well, that they try to act and be young people that they are supposed to be, especially from 14 to 20.
Follow up question. Oh,
no.
Morning. Currently, I want to. There's a lot of public debate. Tony, what do you think should be the role of NYPA in shaping young people's views in public debate? I'm going to make reference to two issues. The first one is the issue of the art gallery, which is currently a public issue. The second one is on the youth waste subsidy. How do you think NYPA should be led or help in the process? What's your opinion on NYPA's role?
I think at all times the NYPA should be on the side of young people and try to protect their needs, especially on this issue of the one that you just mentioned now, of how to actually help young people, because if there is a good initiative that will be done by the government, so even if the young people get into private sectors, but how to actually give them that start to say this is how they should be, this is how the skills and development that they should regain and be able to function well at work also, because you don't need unexperienced or a young person who cannot perform well, but you need that in order for you to have that, you need to put a program that will give them a skills development. So in the government initiating that, it would actually help young people to get into private sector, but with a bit of experience and skills that will be done. I think the NYPA can play that part of developing the skills program and making sure that we integrate young people into better life and develop them in socially with skills, and whether they want to build their own interest, but at the end of the day, we must put up programs that will help them.
Chair, a follow-up is on the proceeding. I see you are a person who is involved in the issue of career guidance. Tell me, in terms of this area, what is your view in terms of the role that has been played by NYPA in career guidance, and what you think are the gaps, and what should be improved?
Thank you very much. I think in the role of career guidance, when you give career guidance to a younger person, you actually giving guidance to them to say how they should maybe see or portray the future at the end of the day. But also note that the passion and interest of this person is also being taken care of. I think maybe if we can start there, even if we give those career guidance, because nowadays young people don't want to be a doctor because I want to be a doctor, but I want to be a doctor because I know that I'll be earning something, I'll have my own station. But what is actually my passion? What is it that I can contribute to South Africa that is not yet that much of a program? Like, make them understand that they can be engineers. Make them know that in the lack of resources that we have, we need young people who will be doing that part. And what interest do they have in what they want to do? And also spearhead on that. Say, if you've got an interest of being a lawyer, then you must take it upon on being a lawyer. But if you don't have an interest of being a lawyer and you just want to be a lawyer because of you want to earn something, you end up losing focus as a young person to say where exactly do you want to see yourself in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Last thing from out of Parliament, how do you view this process? Is it fair? Do we need to do other than law? Are there any suggestions you want to make for us to improve in the future?
Since I'm very much comfortable in my seat, I would think it is fair, and it should be spearheaded by Parliament as such. So I don't think there's any discrimination of thought or anything of like that. I think for me it is 100%.
Thank you,
Dr. Young. And maybe if you can smile
again. I'll smile outside. Look, not
specifically on you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Jesus, somebody's coming. Now, is there a question that you want to pose to us? Is there any question you have? Or if you don't have, then it's okay.
I don't know, but what I would like to know is that I know that as much as you are here, some of you are parents as well. How do you want to see young people doing in life for now and for future generations that is coming in the next coming 10 years or so? How you've got children, how do you want to see them progress in life and have that future, have that success that they would want in life? As parents, that is how I'm asking, because I know that some of you guys, they are parents, and it should actually be in your thoughts that my child has to be somewhere in life one day, but how do you want to see that happening?
And then don't tell the
kids. I'll give you my ID number. I'm the youngest here. But the best parent in the house is Honorable Kosan. I'll give him the opportunity to respond to that question. Honorable Kosan, if you can respond to this question.
Okay, thank you very much. Not the parent want a child to be. The child wants a parent as a child. But the child, him or herself, who or she wants to be. The parent is just to raise the child and support the child financially in ideology and give a child the necessary skills so that you can develop that particular child. Then a child will reach an objective. Thank you.
Be on your own. We thank you very much, Madam Matosa. I'll bring you ID copies of numbers, or you can just Google us, so you'll see who the youngest is. Thanks very much. you can leave. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Welcome to Parliament. So we are outside, but it's still a meeting of Parliament with yourself. Thanks for responding to the call for in a very short space of time. My name is Mokoni Maine. I'm co-chairing here with Honorable Kubai, the co-chairperson, and these are honorable members of both Houses of Parliament, the MCOC and the National Assembly. Honorable members are going to ask questions to you, as you have responded to your address. And looking at you, Mr. Morozan, you look never. Are you never?
Chairperson, I am never. I'm actually very anxious. But in this kind of situations, I've always learned that the best thing to do for me is to speak from the heart. So that's what I intend to do.
Okay, thanks for that. Sparkling, if you want sparks, you can take sparkling water. If you want to distill, take distilled water. Now, honorable members, feel free, honorable Mr. Morodo. It's very comfortable. All members are going to ask you questions. I will start with honorable Banga. He's very present. So I know his question will not be very long. He's very present and ask you the question.
Good morning. You must be yourself.
allows the faith to go to advance from the heart. There are perceptions by the youth of Father Shriver that the ANC continue to use the NYDA as an extension for dispatching patronage to ANC members, perhaps in rural areas and in other corners. If you are not a member of the ANC, you might not get a tender or whatever. Secondly, the NYDA have created many small business people to benefit out of it. But some of them, they don't run companies. They run the companies through laptops and restaurants. They're not creating jobs. How will you turn that around? Lastly, 42% of the budget of the NYDA goes to salaries. Tell us, how will you turn this thing around? Thank you very much.
Up to your question, I will not interject. When you're done noting, you can just respond, and the member obviously has a follow-up question. Don't wait for me to say respond. You can respond directly.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me first indicate that I am a member of the African National Congress. I, in fact, have dedicated my entire life and youth to this giant glorious movement of our people. The question of whether the NYDA is pro ANC in its own program and function. What is an important question that I think should be answered. But I think first and foremost I must indicate that I'm a proponent of political pluralism. I believe that many of our first 4 years, regardless of their political affiliation, have made quite an important contribution towards this country's democracy. And those who must then reap the rewards of this game must be young people across the world. South African young people, many of whom are unemployed, with so many opportunities that have yet to reach them. And I think the National Youth Development Agency must inter alia provide platforms by first and foremost making sure that it makes available to young people youth advisory centers. Because the absence of youth advisory centers in all 252 municipalities remains a major concern. The presence of programs and products and services offered by the NYDA in those municipalities, I think, will help in dealing with that. Now the issue of salaries as a main cost driver for the NYDA is quite unfortunate. As you know that it appropriated funds from Parliament, from other legal sources, its budget must actually be more progressive. Now, one of the challenges that the Youth Development Agency faces is its inability to reach other stakeholders and partner with them in making sure that they advance what is enshrined in the Act as National Priority Program. The buy-in of the private sector, the buy-in of the civil society. Now, should I be afforded with an opportunity to serve on this distinguished board, among what I intend to do is to reduce the overspending of the budget of the agency on personnel and direct it more on
directed more on operational issues. Clearly, there are set out objectives in the Act, which relate to financing, which to me, the matter that is very close to my heart. Financing, providing financial aid to the students, to small, medium, micro, to SMEs, and those, in my view, are core functions of core objectives of the area. And my view is that that money is better placed in saving young people in those respective areas than in exorbitant salaries. But also what is important is to make sure that there is conformity with pieces of legislation in relation to expenditure. The NYJ is a national public entity, which is clearly defined in the PFMA. So as we look into how funding must be dispatched for the operations of the agency, that must also be done with, consistent with your treasury regulation and PFMA in particular.
That's the follow-up, sir.
The follow-up,
because we have expressed some interesting views on some of the things I'm fundamental about. In 3 weeks back, this I related with the work of advocacy of the MIT. 3 weeks back, the 3 weeks to 4 weeks back, the youth of Africa in two different sites in Johannesburg went out on the street, one to defend, one to fight, and there was violence. The Constitution of South Africa advocates tolerance in freedom of expression. How do you view the role played by young people in terms of advocacy on youth matters, and what should be advocated differently? What is your attitude on what happened in Johannesburg?
Well, I think what we continue to lack as young people is our resolve on matters of social cohesion. Because it is only through social cohesion that young people can be able to engage on matters of common people. Now, you, Honourable Member, referred to an incident in Johannesburg where young people exhibited signs or exhibited actions which amounts to intolerance against one another. As you know, pre-1994, one of the most disturbing and ugliest incidents that, or activities that this country had had to deal with was black on black violence. Now, until such time that we engage young people in activities that will enrich their social capital, their network, the relations that would, and make sure that we identify issues that would bind communities together, we will obviously have these continued issues of policy and intolerance. Now, it is our responsibility as the future generation of the leadership of this country to rise to the occasion and provide high level of leadership, consistent of what many of us were taught in the struggle growing up. Political intolerance among those things. But we must furthermore embrace universal principles of peace, freedom, but you must also look at social circumstances that continue to threaten the progress of an ordinary young person in this country.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Tamarolo. How are you? Good. Given the challenges that are faced by the youth of this country, I know you know of those challenges. Your unemployment, high rate of unemployment, your substance abuse, HIV and AIDS. What are the real problems that you can implement if you are appointed a member of the board to change the lives of all the of all those to change the lives of the people out there, of the youth out there, given the challenges that we are facing? And secondly, Chair, I think you have familiarized yourself with the functions of the board in terms of the NYDA Act. Can you give this house all those functions of the board? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. The National Youth Development Act, among others, propels the agency to establish capabilities and competencies in the following functional areas. One would be the National Youth Service, two would be social cohesion, three would be policy research and development, four would be governance, training and development, five would be the youth advisory and information services, six would be the National Youth Fund. But it further, the Act further describes that the agency must use its available resources on first and foremost making sure that it establishes offices in all municipalities and provinces. It finance the students, provides financial aid to students. It also provides financial aid to SMEs and cooperatives owned by youth. But let me come back to this important question that you have posed with regard to issues of moral degeneration. And I want to speak about this matter because it is equally close to my heart. It is equally close to my heart because of this abridged story of my life. Now, I am a young person who, at the age of 21, was admitted to a rehabilitation center for alcohol abuse. I survived alcohol, which was actually the biggest weakness in my life. And as a result, I formed an organization called Youth for Change, which was aimed at engaging young people on the dangers of substance abuse. This is what I did for my community. I think we need to go back to moral regeneration programs, engage young people on challenges facing them, the high levels of issues of social decay that we must be able to address ourselves to. There is serious issues around gender-based violence, which we as a country must confront. We as the National Development Agency must be at the helm of leading programs that are aimed at conscientizing our communities about issues of gender-based violence. We must draw support of young people around issues that associate with substance abuse. We must be able to provide mentoring programs to leaders who advocate for such matters of moral regeneration.
Yes, follow-up question, my brother.
Sorry, follow-up, Chair. This is a new question. In senior CV, as part of your working experience, I see that you had me an administrator in the Parliamentary Conference Office. If you are appointed as a member of the board, how would you utilize the Parliamentary Conference Office? just to give people services, because I know one of the parliamentary questions of this are one stop, I regard it as one stop center. Actually, they are not regarded as ANC parliamentary offices. We regard themselves as parliamentary constituency office, because we know that information from parliament across all political parties are brought to those local parliamentary constituency offices. So how would you utilize the system of the board, the parliamentary constituency, this one stop center?
Well, we will always regard them as one-stop center, but we will also regard them as extension of parliament, because this is where we provide information on legislation to communities. This is where we inform them about programs that are government-driven. This is where we use those communities that cannot access government departments to do so. So that will be in line with, actually it will be in line with the role of the National Development Agency. Streamlining development issues, make sure that young people who are not able to access certain departments do so through your parliamentary constituency office. Thanks. Thanks, Chair, and good morning to Mr. Long. I just want to zoom in on the letter of nomination forwarded by us by the South African Youth Council. And in the last but one paragraph, I'll just read it for you for your benefit. We have all the confidence in Kenny Long that his knowledge, skills, and expertise will add great value in the work of the NYPA. That's a very powerful, very bold statement, and very convincing, but would be more convincing if unpacked. So, you know yourself better than anybody else. What are these? What is the knowledge, skill, and expertise that you've got to offer for the NYPA, which sets you aside or apart from everybody else, say you're the man? And you know, what gives you that added edge on the basis of what is being said, there's motivation? I'm asking this because the South African Youth Council, I mean, in itself says, you know, it's a very multi-body body. So this is a huge vote of confidence. I want to see how you take it and how you like it. Thanks, Chair.
First honorable member, first and foremost, I am humbled by this gesture, by what I refer to as an umbrella of youth formation in civil society. First and foremost, as you zoom into my CV, you realize that most of my youth, most of my life has been dedicated to the service of our people. In the first instance, I was a leader of the Masu Patela, which in early 1990 was referred to as ANC Young Pioneer. There was actually an organization of children of the ANC. Not only did I serve there in that capacity as its member, but I was also its president in the Western Transvaal at the age of 9. I have also served in the student movement, where I led quite a number, numerous campaigns, amongst which related to the creation of a single education system. I was, in fact, served then in the capacity as a provincial chairperson of Costa Rica. I was also a member of the National Executive Committee. I have served also in my communities as a leader of the ANC. I'm a member of the current provincial executive committee in the Northwest. I'm sure I'm the youngest member of the TC of the Northwest. In fact, I'm told and I'm humbled that I'm the youngest member of the PEC of the ANC in the country at the age of 30. I established Youth for Change, where I
devoted my time and energy to youth programs without resources, went to school, spoke about substance abuse, engaged young people on moral generation issues. And so this is the experience I want to presume that is referred to, the expertise that is referred to. But even more important, I initially led you to my own personal experiences in my life. Through this challenge, I at some point led a campaign consistent with some of the campaigns that are driven by the Youth Development Agency, which is to rewrite your material. When I exited high school, I had not passed my matric. A little while later, so about 5 years later, I then led a campaign, a rewrite your matric exam campaign, which saw me returning to school to an other center, rewriting my matric, a matric which I passed. I want to believe that I am selfless, I'm humble, I'm very passionate about patriotism, I love my country, I've got a profound desire to defend this country. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted. Morning, Ted. When you started, you said you are going to speak from the heart, and you were a little bit emotional when dealing with your past, and you nearly touched me when I was going to get to the details of that, but in your recent answer now, you touched part of your success story leading the Youth for Change. Can you share with the panel your understanding of the national legislative process, how it's being done in our country, South Africa?
Well, my very limited knowledge of the legislative process, Honorable Member, relates to a normal process of what is referred to as a green paper, which is actually an expression of a policy matter or a policy opinion of a particular minister. That green paper would then be published for comment by the public. It would then be followed by a white paper, which is a much more refined discussion document. That white paper would afford members of the affected parliamentary committee to make amendments, make their input. It would then be followed by the bill, which is actually a draft of the act, which would also be subjected to public use. And the last phase would then be your act, which is the law.
Right from the CV and your explanation, I can see that you are involved in a number of things. And what is it that you think will make it possible for us to be convinced that at this very young age, getting back to NYDA, as the Act is very clear about the age group of which you belong to, that will be bringing, that will make us to consider that you are among the best that can add value to the current challenges facing young people in our country?
Well, I thank Honorable Member. I've spoken about my experience in my own political life.
I've also spoken about my involvement in cotton structure, but I think I have omitted one structure which I have served in. I served in two boards. As you can see, I'm sure it is there in the CV. I was the chairperson of the Tribe Maranega Hospital Board for a period of about 5 years, which is more of an advisory board on health related matters. It is also, I want to believe that I have distinguished myself in that capacity. I have also served as a deputy chairperson of what is called the District Health Council, which is another board, but more health related at the more district level. And I want to believe that I have represented my community quite well in that capacity. Thanks.
My question, Honorable Chairperson, is related to governance, especially connected to the NYPA. And we want to actually achieve the trust from the people of Taipei, and that they must know that you can spend and handle the money which comes from government at a very responsible manner. Now my question is, if you are being elected to become a member of the NYPA, what will you do to make sure and ensure that governance, the good governance in the NYPA, so that people and the youth can see you are responsible for the group of the NYPA.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Chair, Honorable Member, initially when I spoke on one question, I referred to adherence and compliance with regulations. And specifically, I referred to the Public Finance Management Act, which seeks to regulate the financial management of both government, national government and provincial government. So for us, what I think to be able to guide us as the agency is conformity to legislation. But also, what should also guide us is, I think members of the Youth Development Agency who would be appointed should be subjected to extensive training on matters of handling finances and so on. So I think that I must be honest, in my humblest way, I have little experience with financial management. But I would be willing to subject myself to all forms of training that are aimed at capacitating my knowledge with regard to finance. Thank you.
Thank you. Dumelaga. Nega Ramoro. La bona motho go swaiza.
We appreciate the fact that you participated in two programs. I don't know if I'm correct without saying programs or projects, yeah? You revised your matric campaign of which I was happy that you've also shared your experience, you know, the reason why you have done that, and the need for change. Should you get an opportunity to serve on the board, it's one of the programs that I would personally make sure that you put it there and champion it, because I could imagine if those two programs, they are implemented at a national level, what impact, you know, can they make, and then they can also change the lives of young people. Because of currently, I don't know if you watch program television, but there was a program, yeah, special assignment about double cocaine and all that. I don't know if you saw that. Let me not dwell on that. But, you know, just to change the perception and the mindset of our young people today, they think what we see on generations and other sources is real life, that you can just wake up in the morning and become rich, you know, without working hard, without educating yourself. And if you don't have education, there's no way that you can participate. There's no way that you can represent yourself in higher structures, or you can get an opportunity to be, you know, a member of an executive, for example. So I would want you to make sure that these two programs, they are championed at the national level. But my question was about intergovernmental relations and interdepartmental relations. How are you going to make sure that the programs of NYDA are related to particularly local government, because that's where service delivery is. I was going to make sure that the local government becomes part and parcel of your planning, and that's where your programs are in fact championed.
Honorable member, thank you very much. I would gladly be an advocate of that program if I were to be considered to be a member of this board. It would be something that I would do to the best of my ability. I'm referring to the rewrite metric program. And further education. Now the act draws up to a need to have national priority programs and make sure that those national priority programs are streamlined in such a way that there is buy-in of all organs of faith, your civil society. Now the expert says that those national priority programs must be in respect to development. One of the challenges that we are facing is the absence of National Youth Development Agency in municipalities. First and foremost, I think that it is a matter that must be addressed. Once that is addressed, we are then able to make sure that planning and implementation by the municipality takes into cognizance our national priority program. So I think that this is what must cut across in all organs of state, in all departments, in your local municipalities, and so on. Thank you.
No, just a comment to say that I see in your references you are also backed by a very powerful person, Mr. Sukra
Mahumapil.
He's the chair of the program.
No.
It's the chair of the province.
Honorable Mlezal, Thank you, Jobelin. Good morning,
Afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Morolam. I have no prepared question for you, but I was impressed. The fact you are patriotic, you love your country, and that's good when we have such people. But then that allows more interest to me around economic freedom. But now I am not talking the usual slogan of economic freedom. I want you now to talk to us about economic freedom in the context of rural development.
I'm actually a very good writer, not a very good speaker. Thank you, Honorable Member. Look, I believe that the challenges that faces us in this country is abundance of wealth, particularly where I come from, which is a very rural area, a small town in the west of the northwest. There's abundance of minerals, but those minerals do not assist in creating opportunities for the people of the town in general terms. Not only young people, but the residents and the citizens of that town. Now, I believe with little knowledge on issues of agriculture, I believe that the community of Father Renek, the community of Daum, which is rural, must be able to benefit from its wealth of natural resources. I said that I have limited knowledge on agriculture. We must be able to engage all important sectors in making sure that we develop programs which are aimed at making sure that they start beneficiation. In areas of crop farming, in areas of agro processing, and in many other areas that relate to rural development. I believe that the wealth of mineral resources in our country must continue to benefit young people. They must also continue to benefit the communities where such resources are at high risk. Thank you.
The follow-up question, Chair, would be if you are fortunate that you are part of the NYCA, would you then do all the things that you are raising for young people in those rural communities, or would you make me that they themselves begin to establish themselves so that there's sustainability going forward? Because now I'm listening to the theoretical part of things, not to the practical part of things on the how part.
Well, I drew attention, Honorable Speaker, to Father Renek and Daum, because I happen to reside in Father Renek.
I know Honorable Chairperson comes from Dawu, Honorable Colin Malina. So in my desperate effort to win his support, I mentioned an area that is also close to his heart. But I think that young people in the entire country must benefit from programs of rural development. The mention of a rural development strategy by the National Development Agency, which deals quite exclusively with matters that relate to agriculture, your green economy, and should I be appointed, I would actually be an advocate of rural development. But I would make sure that all young people are made aware of all the programs and services that are offered by the NYDA across the board. I mentioned rural areas because when you look at the demographics of the youth of this country, special emphasis, there's no way that there would not be a special emphasis on rural youth, because that is where you find high level of interest, that is how, where you find high level of unemployment. And it is these youth that have not received equal opportunities in this country. And in our agenda, we must continue to propel for such opportunities to be received by these young people. Yeah.
It's the second round of Lamar Kudela than making the last question. I don't know. Lamar Kudela.
I don't know. I think it was just gracious and I welcome.
Translation means that he is greeting in Botswana, but that's how far he can go. So his knowledge of Botswana is ending at the guy, which means is a greeting.
I thought you were giving him tips.
No, but to never make a mistake and think that really that is the case, because I'm just saying the Adam is not the former man's flag. So I want to be very appropriate. And just have two questions for you, which I think would be friendly as well, and very kind to you. The one is, most businesses, any business activity by young people in the country, don't seem to be sustainable. They collapse shortly after they have been set up. Now, without rhetoric and without being theoretical about what do you think should be done to address this issue? Because there's a lot of investment that goes that direction. And it doesn't make much sense to keep on investing in an area where you don't derive any benefit. So if you were to belong to this board, what do you think should be done to ensure that we invest for a good cause and risk? The second, if you're ready to take it, the second relates to what you actually referred to as well, you tied to the issue on social cohesion. That's part of the functions of the NYDA. Now, we know there's always been talk about that issue. It's a major issue. It's not something that I'm saying has been necessarily achieved by now. I understand very well it may be a process kind of issue. But we know, if I were to give example, any national calendar day that we are going to gather, celebrate, not everybody would be interested,
not easy to get people around whatever meeting we've got. What do you think will enhance that kind of cost so that we are able to move as one, as a council, as a society? Thank
Honorable Member, let me start with your second question on social cohesion. I went to the annual report of the National Youth Development Agency, the YANDA 2010-2011, and I found that young people, the National Youth Development Agency has been able to galvanize about 680 young people into or during who served as volunteers or who participated in the program during the 16-day activity against gender violence. Which is a very minimal, very low response from young people. And this is merely owed to the fact that we're not, or the NYDA has yet to create social dialogue, engage young people on issues of common purpose, have programs that would be able to draw young people into a discussion. Like I said, initially you used to have your youth seminars that will identify key topical issues and relate to them. It is no longer the case. That's what we need to do amongst others is to find these seminars, but also spread them in such a way that they also benefit your rural communities. To spread them in such a way that they also benefit your urban youth. Because also, it is in urban areas where you also find issues of social decay, something that those programs must cut across. The issue of collapse of business, I think we need to expand and intensify our mentoring program. But the National Youth Development Agency needs a true advocacy program, have a buy-in of the private sector. Well, there are massive skills and knowledge that can be imparted from the private sector. And I think we'll be able to tap into that focal area. And I think if we intensify on our mentoring programs, we will then be able to create entrepreneurs that will be able to organize their business and take financial risk. Thanks.
I know your curriculum has changed who you are and all that, and were born within the first or first year in Madrasan. Now my question, and it's a very important question that comes to me, is whether you are in a position, if you were to be granted or afforded this opportunity around the world, will you be able to serve the board in any capacity?
I would be able to serve the board in any capacity. In that capacity.
I noticed that you are the spokesperson of the ANC in Northwest. How would you use your experience as a communicator in light of your area of current exposure? if appointed, to rebrand and refocus the institution NYDA, and what is your view in terms of its publishing currently?
I think that we need to be able to increase on the public relations of the methods of public relations of the agency. One of the things that I have discovered is that the website is also not user friendly. I tried to set certain things and which are products and services that should be offered by the agency, and they were not available. But also, I think that we need to have a newsletter. If there's any, I did not know. I went to an annual report where there was no mention of the newsletter. But I think we need a newsletter that would inform young people of these services. But all these things can be done for as long as you do not have presence of the advisory center. Whether in the form of your mobile youth advisory center, as it is stated in the annual report, you will not be able to achieve anything. You need to bring the youth development agency to the young people down on the ground. Young people must access it. They must have information to the product agency. They must be able to interpret it. You must be able to know all these opportunities. There are young people who have not returned to their studies as a result of their inability to finance themselves. There are young people, for instance, and this is a matter that was advocated by the Youth Commission. The National Student Financial Aid Scheme precludes certain young people whose parents are on a particular bracket to exclude them from financial aid. Now, and those parents are unable to finance the studies of their own children. National Youth Development Agency advocates for such financing. And during the review of NEFAS, made quite a brilliant input into this matter. But this information is unknown to young people, because these services are not there on the ground where young people are able to access. It would not be economically viable to have all these newsletters everywhere. But if you have the advisory center there, you know that young people will be able to work. They'll be able to access information. They'll be able to get that.
My second question, sir. Ramarolo, what do you think is the role of the NYDA when it comes to formulating a public opinion? The current public discourse, the issue of the art gallery, and the issue of the youth wage subsidy. How do you think that NYDA should respond to that in terms of
assisting
young people in public opinion?
Well, NYDA is owned by government. It's a national public entity. It's a youth, a very useful national public entity. It must express its views in line with government policy. There must be no deviation. It must make sure that its own views find expression in government. I believe that NYDA, for instance, does not have a right to express external views outside of those views that would be compelled by government. I believe that the responsibility of NYDA, for instance, is to lobby government on its own vision on matters. And therefore not raise these issues that are outside the ATP. It's an opposition to government, or whether it's or ATP is independent from government. I've seen that it has expressed its view on and support for the youth wage subsidy. Obviously discussions are underway, but I would have appreciated a situation where such views are expressed in line with government policy. Our responsibility is to influence government policy and not criticize or speak against it.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, sir, you run me out of work. Can I make a follow-up on what you just said now?
You're out of work.
Okay.
Is your hand a long time?
No.
Okay. No, Madam Rolo, as I said, we thank you for coming. But do you honestly think, that this panel must recommend you honestly to be a member of the board? And why do you think?
Well, I think this will be also an opportunity for me to express my deepest gratitude to you, honorable members of Parliament, for having afforded me an opportunity to represent myself, the South African Council, which has nominated me, the Congress of South African Students, which has nominated me today. I hope that I have not disappointed them. I'm hardworking, I'm a very focused young person. I believe in collective leadership, I believe in teamwork, I believe in selflessness, I believe in doing the best that my ability permits of me. I'm a very humble person. I hope that for some reason, as you consider my presentation today, you take note of these issues. I will repeat this again. I have the deepest love for my country. I have spent most of my time servicing my community, my people. At the age of 9, I was able to put my life online in many ways in defense of my country and the values that I believe in. So, Chair, I will humble myself before this panel by saying that I can only do what my ability permits of me, and the rest is up to you. I'm a God-fearing person. I hope that in looking at my performance today, all these issues will be taken into account. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mrodong. Now, in terms of this process of interviews, or the entire process of appointment of the NYDA, do you have any idea about the process, or do you want to make any suggestions for Parliament how to conduct this in the future? Or if you're satisfied, you can just say satisfied. If not, make suggestions.
Well, Honorable Chair, the Act calls for nomination process by youth. It calls for openness and transparency. You will obviously recommend to your distinguished houses and subsequent to the President. I am impressed with the process. It has been fair, it has been consistent with the Act, and I'm quite happy.
Any question that you want to follow? Thank you.
my wife gave it. The service is better for that. But I think it's after 12. Not necessary.
Please,
but maybe
meeting
procedure. Most of you, you are convincing aloud. And no member is allowed to convince aloud when they are to speak on the podium. Now, honorable members, we are told that the first candidate is not anywhere to be found. So it then means that honorable Mahdi would have an opportunity to prepare a speech. We will do as we did yesterday. Leave our thing is here. Darren and the team will take care of them. We'll meet. It has lunch session. We'll have lunch. And then we will meet in the houses, and thereafter we'll convene to continue until 8:15 this evening. Starting 5:15 in the Old Assembly Chamber. No, we're not coming here. We're going to the Old Assembly now from here. And thank you very much for our members. The files and the copies and others, you leave them here for Darren and the team. Thank you.